The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 to 14. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as there are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb for ever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the book of Revelation has always held the interest of many people. They seek to find the key to all the world's events in its pages. However, many things are read into these revelations which in reality are not there. Many fantastic theories are set up, and revelation is made to fit the pattern. But this is not the purpose of the book. In the book of Revelation, however, you can find much that is encouraging in any age of trouble, bloodshed, war, strife, and wickedness. This book does not answer every question we ask, nor does it predict every event which is coming to pass. The knowledge of some future events God withholds from us graciously. However, Revelation predicts, just as Jesus does in the closing chapters of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, days of dire distress before his return as judge of both the living and the dead. This book predicts world conditions which are rather disheartening and distressing. However, Revelation takes us beyond time and shows us believers heaven with its final triumphal glory. There Christ Jesus and his church will reign forever and ever. Sin, Satan and death will not be able to touch God's elect. There God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In this world, on the other hand, the saints and believers will go through many tribulations. This distress will become more intense as the years go on. The book tells us that four horsemen will ride across the face of the earth and tread humanity underfoot. The first will ride a white horse of persecution. The second will ride the red horse of war and bloodshed. The third will sit upon the black horse of famine and pestilence. And the fourth will ride the pale horse of death. These four horsemen of the apocalypse will create havoc and distress among the nations, suffering, heartache and tears. This is a prophetic picture which Revelation paints for us, as the saints of the centuries cry out, "How long, O Lord?" At last comes a sound like the mighty rushing waters. Then is heard the great Amen, when wars will cease, pestilence and hunger will end, sin and Satan will be bound, and death will be banished forever. The promise of God enables the believers to look out of this chaos of time and final hope, and find hope. This is the encouraging message to us from Patmos, where John sees, in vision after vision, the eternal events and pens them for us by the command of God. Let us therefore consider the great Amen of victory. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the Amen of eternity is the Amen of victory. Our text begins, And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." The battle is done. Satan and sin have been defeated and bound. All this has been accomplished by the Lamb which was slain. This was none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. On Calvary he paid in full the redemption price for the sins of the world. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Only the death of the Son of God could satisfy the holy law of God. For in Christ Jesus there was no blemish or fault. He was without sin. Through his sacrifice, the Lamb has redeemed us to God, sings the saints of eternity, as the Lamb opens the book in which is recorded what he has done. These redeemed and saved have come out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. A world conflict has taken place, and the universal redemption has been accomplished. No greater event has ever taken place in world history. Even modern wars, destructive and far-reaching in effect as they are, fade into insignificance compared with the importance of this colossal conflict and victory at Calvary. Colossal is the only word sufficiently emphatic to stress the importance of this victorious battle. Those who have been redeemed and come to faith in time are to be crowned with the Lamb in the glorious eternity, and have made us kings and priests to our God. In the wars of this present world, not all share the honours of the victory. Even at the time when the conquering hero is acclaimed by the people, many a soldier who fought with him and under him is forgotten. Not everyone shares the joy and the blessings of the victory. However, the saints, that is all believers, are to be kings and priests to God. Nobody will be overlooked. They will not be crowned in this present world, but when the new heaven and the new earth is created, they will be. Then they will reign with him forever and ever. The four living creatures said, "Amen. It is so. Christ has won." There is no doubt about the victory. Some people are still debating as to who won the various world wars, or the Iraq war, or the many wars since then. Time and again we hear of discussions on questions of who is actually winning the peace. With every earthly victory, there are some losses, and yes, some very heavy losses. However, the four living creatures said, "Amen." There is no question as to who is the victor over Satan and sin. Christ Jesus rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is now seated upon the throne. Christ Jesus is the King of eternity. The four living creatures said, "Amen." Secondly, we consider the Amen of triumph. The Amen of eternity is also the Amen of triumph. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing.'" There is a difference between the victory and the triumph. The victory is won on the battlefield, but the triumph is celebrated back home. The angels sing this triumphal hymn to the Lamb, Christ Jesus, who was slain, but is now back in heaven, seated upon the throne at the right hand of God the Father. These angels were always on hand when the great events took place in the dispensations of God. They sang the morning hymn of the creation. They sang the Glory in Excelsis at Bethlehem when Jesus was born. They stood at the open grave on Easter morning to tell the women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. he is risen. They stood at the side of the disciples on the Mount of Olives as the 500 gazed into heaven, saying, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now these angels welcome home the victor of Calvary to give him the triumphal honours of eternity. However, the angels are not alone in this welcome. With them is a great multitude of people. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Mingled with the angelic voices are the voices of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Christ is worthy to open the book which records his achievements as Redeemer of the world. Yes, he is the atoning Christ, the Messiah promised after the fall, man's hope in a struggle against sin. He is more than a prophet, more than a good teacher, more than a way shower. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and put Satan in his place. So he is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. As he opens this book to hear of his great achievements, they sing a new song, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Those who sing the song know what he has done for them. Their robes were washed white in the blood of the Lamb. They wear the robe of righteousness, whiter than snow. They all have entered the glory by the same door. They believe that Jesus redeemed them with his own blood, that they might be his own. Even the defeated are to acknowledge Christ's victory. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb for ever and ever. They too acknowledge his undisputed kingship. Satan is bound, sin is banished, death is overcome, and for ever and ever the Lamb is to receive blessing and honour and glory and power. As a result, there goes forth the shout of the great Amen of triumph, filling eternity with resounding joy. This is what John saw and heard and wrote. Finally, the Amen of hope. What value is there in this vision for us? The Amen of victory and triumph is the Amen of hope. As we, in this present world, suffer trials and tribulations, face endless problems and disappointments, we are given a hope that after this pilgrimage through a maze of trouble, there is held out for us a glorious goal, where God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there shall be no more pain and dying. This is a hope which Christ Jesus holds out to us. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. With this hope in our hearts, we can rise above every situation as more than conquerors. Now John was suffering. He had been banished to the Isle of Patmos. On this lonely, barren island, he, an aged man, was facing all the hardships which an exile brings with it. He was separated from his loved ones. He was anxious about their welfare, as they were being persecuted by the enemies of the cross. All around was the sea, and it cut off all communications with the Christians at Ephesus. As John there looks into eternity and sees a new heaven, and there is no more sea. In heaven, he shall no longer be separated from his beloved Christians. At present, he is suffering hunger and want. He is lonely. He is homesick. But in heaven, there will be no more sighing and crying, because God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And we too are suffering. Thousands of Christian families, as well as many others throughout the world, are in great distress, are anxious and worried, are separated, Oh, the heartaches and the tears, the loneliness and frustrations, the suffering and the pain that thousands of people endure. However, all this suffering and meaningless emptiness of life is temporary, says John. This is important to know as we stare into a blank wall, but do not know which way to turn. It does not last forever. And this is John's message to us. This enables us to look up with confidence and hope. The armour of victory and triumph holds out for us a sure hope as we face death. One thing is certain, we cannot escape the pale horse of death. We may escape for years sickness and pain, enjoy good health the greater part of our lives, but death is certain to come to us all. However, the armour of victory and triumph makes us unafraid. With David we can say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." With Simeon of old we can look forward, saying, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." With Paul we can exclaim, "O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This glorious hope each believer in Christ has from day to day amid all the uncertainties of life. This hope mellows the sorrows of life, dries our tears, puts our mind at ease as we face a tomorrow, and makes every burden lighter and every heartache less depressing. Amid all the anxieties and distress of the years, we hear from a distance this great Amen of eternity. And therefore, we long for the day when we shall see God face to face and live forever in the fullness of joy which only the Lamb of God can guarantee us. Let us then look up, listen to God's promises, and sing wherever we are this Amen of hope. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. Therefore blessing and honour and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb for ever and ever. And let all of us, believers here on earth, exclaim with a resounding shout, "Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen and Amen." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.